Welcome to the Infrastructure Podcast, this new series of conversations with some of the key leaders and influencers from across the vast UK infrastructure sector. My name's Anthony Oliver, and in today's podcast, we're going to talk about the challenge of recruiting and retaining construction's future talent. And that is, without question, one of the biggest issues holding back growth in the sector. In fact, according to a recent report by the Construction Industry Training Board, it's estimated that for the sector to maintain its required output, it needs to recruit over 45,000 new people every year for the next 5 years. And this, of course, is set against a backdrop of record numbers of job vacancies in construction, thought perhaps to be as high as 44,000 and growing. So it's a massive challenge. And who better to discuss this with than Susanna Nicol, Chief Executive of Build UK, the body representing the UK contractors who are really trying to fill these gaps. Susanna, welcome to the Infrastructure Podcast.
Hello.
Well, great. Let's make a start and find out a bit more about Build UK, Susanna. You have led the organisation since it was born in 2015. What do you actually do?
What we do is bring that whole contracting supply chain around the same table. And I think that's where we're a little bit different. It's really easy to sit in an organisation and talk just with your peers or people in the same sphere. And where we will really drive the industry forward is we get everybody around the same table. So the concept of this is as simple as that. And that's where we started from. Let's stop having lots of different siloed conversations, get everybody around the table, because it's always quite interesting, because whichever sector or party is not around the table, it's their fault. So if you just have the contractors around the table, it's the client's fault. If you have the clients around that, it goes on. So if you put everybody around the table, you put the issue in the centre of the table and say, guys, this is our challenge.
Right. Yeah.
We're all in it together. We've all got a part to play. What are we going to do about it? If somebody does point the finger at the clients or the contractors or the specialist contractor or the consultants, we can all turn to them and say, so what have you got to say about it? So it leads to much more productive and resolving conversations rather than continuously talking about the problem.
And the three areas that you focus on, yes, it's about improving business performance, about increasing productivity, but it's also about recruiting, training and retaining talent. I mean, do you recognise those numbers that I quoted at the top?
We do, absolutely. And we use that data. It breaks it down quite specifically to look at areas and specialist sectors as well, which is clearly where we employ people. And about 55% of the workforce is employed in a trade occupation. So it's a significant amount of people that we need at that level. Also in management, about 15% is in management. We just need lots of people, and we need people with the right aptitude, the right attitude, and most importantly, the right skills. It's all about competence. I would say these days it's always been about competence, but ensuring we have the right people in the right place at the right time to do the right thing is absolutely key.
And how do you measure the success of what you've achieved?
I would break it down into recruit, train and retain. So recruit is that pipeline of people. How do we get the next generation into our industry? I actually believe lots of young people would really like a job in construction. The challenge is it's really difficult to get into construction. We run Open Doors, which is coming up in March, which is where we open up sites, and we've got over 230 sites across the country to show people what it's like in construction. That's how I joined. I went out on site, had a look around and went, this looks amazing, this is for me. So how do we measure that? We start to look at how many people sign up for a construction course, whether that's an apprenticeship, whether it's a college course, whether it's a training course. But actually, we need to start looking at the success rate. How many of those young people see the course out, get their qualification and then join construction? And at the moment, it's pitifully low. It's a really small percentage of young people make that journey from education actually into employment. We should all across the industry, when somebody says, I want to be a roofer, bricklayer, scaffolder, quantity surveyor, construction manager, we should all be able to point to that route into the industry. And actually, at the moment, we can't do that. So if a young person says to me, I would love to be a project manager, it's really difficult to say, right, this is the university you need to go to, or this is the college you need to go to. These are the employers in your area. This is the next step. Once you've got that job, mm-hmm. these are the next steps to get your professional qualification. it's really difficult for everybody to say that. And that's where we need to fix that journey. And that, for me, would be the first measure of success.
Okay. The session's about recruiting and retaining construction's future talent. And I think from what you're saying, your passion comes through about this being a really, really important objective. I mean, why does it matter so much to you personally?
Oh, because I love this industry. I love what we do. I love the excitement. And I also think it's a really rewarding career. Almost every day in construction is different. I'm no longer on site, but even in what I do, every day there is something different, whether I'm looking at building safety, I am looking at a technical scaffolding issue. I've just done my redone my CSCS health and safety test, so I've been back looking at confined spaces. So I actually think people who work in our industry, they like being challenged, they like a bit of excitement. There is nothing better than walking past a piece of infrastructure or a building and saying, I built that.
Right, yeah.
Simple as that, really.
Well, let's talk a bit more about you. I mean, you mentioned at the top that you got into the industry because you went on an open site visit. I mean, before Build UK, you ran the NSCC for 13 years. You were at the Construction Confederation, and you were responsible for transforming health and safety. And you got your CSCS card. That was your baby, wasn't it? I mean, it's a tough business that's resistant to change. I mean, what keeps you interested and passionate?
Oh, I think the fact that it is hugely exciting what we do. I was out with a specialist contractor the other day looking at some really complicated groundworks that they were doing. And it's just fascinating about how complicated it is and how we do it. And so what keeps me passionate is the fact that I think it's a great industry. I think it could be absolutely awesome. But to do that, we have to change the way we do things. And I like a bit of a challenge, I guess. But I can see.
And it's about people as well.
It is about people.
It's about people. Yeah. And you love, I think your passion for people, I mean that for you is, the people are what makes it.
Oh, I think people is what make the world go round, really, isn't it? And we are a people industry. We still hand build things. It is still people's brains that do the designing, make the difference. And when you're in a room full of people in construction, generally they're all quite passionate. The majority of people I've met in this industry are really nice people. Their heart's in it. They want to do the right thing. So I think the whole world's about people, and I'm just lucky I work in a job where you get to speak to lots of people.
But it's not easy. As I said, it's a tough business. I mean, what would you say are the most difficult bits of your current role? And you know, conversely, what are the most rewarding?
Oh, how long have you got? One of the most challenging things at the moment is the volume of significant events and changes facing us. There is no getting away from that. Some days I feel like...
These are macro events.
Macro events. And micro. You know, you go from the war in Ukraine, the pandemic, the collapse of Carillion, the fire at Grenfell Tower. You've got an ever-changing government. We're on something like our 24th construction minister in 24 years. So those massive issues, which I think people really underestimate, how wearing that is for business and for businesses that are trying to make a difference and trying to do things differently. Sometimes you just can't. You can't even lift your head up as a business and say, what am I going to be doing next year, if you are constantly dealing with these massive changes, right? But, you know, Brexit, I didn't even mention that. But it's all consuming. Yeah. And then you have the micro issues. You then have, you know, I mentioned I've just redone my health and safety test, passed with flying colours, if you're interested, which was quite a relief.
Congratulations.
That was a relief. Can you imagine? Yes. Can you imagine coming out and saying I hadn't passed? I did revise very, very hard. But then on a day-to-day basis, you're looking after your people's welfare. You are, you know, drawings are changing by the minute. One minute people are telling you to save the planet. Then they're trying to tell you to go off-site. Then they're trying to talk to you about mental health. Then you're trying to deal with health and safety and diversity. We as people can only do so many things, and businesses are similar. We're massively full of small businesses in construction, and they've got the day job to do and all of this stuff and the big issues. I sometimes feel, if you've seen the film Wonder Woman, I'm not saying I am Wonder Woman, but and she's kind of fighting off all the different things flying in her direction. That sometimes feels like my day, and I get to the end of it and go, oh my goodness, I've survived another day. But it is quite a challenge.
No, but I suppose the point is that, yeah, it takes a lot of energy and effort to make a small change. Is that fair?
It is, because if you want to change things, you've got to unpeel all the layers and go right back to why people behave in a certain reason. People do things for a reason. And you have to go back and say, why do people behave like that? And then you have to deal with all those underlying reasons. So payment's a good one. So back in 2018, the government changed the legislation and we started to benchmark payment performance. But to get everybody up to the starting line, they had to change their back office systems. They had to look at their account systems. We then had to benchmark it. It is huge. But over the last 5 years, we have shifted payment terms amongst our members from 45 days average down to 30 day average. There's still a huge amount to go. Don't underestimate the challenge. But that's in 5 years. And that's only just touching one bit of it. The same with pre-qualification. 7 years and we are rolling out the new common assessment standard, which will make it saves billions of pounds a year, but 7 years almost just to get to the starting line is huge investment.
Which I suppose again it underlines, you know, the fact that getting something like the CSCS card out and up and running and part of the industry is a phenomenal achievement. With all these plates that you're spinning, Susanna, I mean, how do you take your mind off the mad world that's construction? What do you do?
I socialise with my friends. I've got a lot of lovely friends. I do love my sport. I like being outdoors. So if it's outdoors, I love it. So whether it's sport, fitness, we have a new puppy. So spending time out training him and walking him. I like being out and about. And it doesn't matter whether it's sailing, netball or badminton. I do them all. And sometimes there aren't enough hours in the day. But, you know, ask a busy person. What they're saying.
Hopefully you can't resist walking by a construction site and looking over the hoarding as well then.
I bore my family to tears talking about scaffolding or roof work or saying, can we just stop the car please and have a look at how fantastic this project is?
Well, it's getting back to talent. I mean, Build UK highlights three areas to focus on, you know, recruit, train and retain. I mean, let's have a chat about each of those areas. I mean, start with the need to recruit a diverse workforce across all roles. I mean, what do you consider a diverse workforce?
In my view, diverse is people who think differently. Because if you get everybody thinks the same, you're kind of going to end up with the same response. If you get people that think differently, you accelerate progress. And it's people coming in with different ideas, looking at things differently. So often that's gender. That's where it starts with. You know, we've still only got 14% of women across the construction workforce and only about 2% on the front line in those operational roles. And that hasn't shifted for 20 years. So, you know, everybody wants it to be different, but we've got to do things fundamentally different. But it's people of different colour. It's people of different backgrounds. It's people who think differently. And also, I think, challenge the norms and say, why do we do it that way? There will have been a reason in the first place, but why are we still doing it that way? So that different thought has to be around the table. And in terms of changing its approach, we can't just shout louder at those people to come and join us. You can't just shout louder at women and say, we're great, come and join us. You have to be great. You have to do things differently. My big passion in that area is more flexible working. That's a challenge in construction. You know, our sites have long hours. Maybe we need to be better organised.
Yeah.
But if we want men, women, people who don't count themselves as either to come and work in our industry in this day and age where both parents have to work, you've got to find a way that we get the best out of people. And it could be different shift patterns, more flexible working arrangements. We all work from home a little bit more often. Again, that's tricky on frontline construction roles, but it's not impossible.
Well, it moves on to the next one, which is, you know, the need to train individuals with the skills and qualifications required to develop and progress their careers. I mean, who would you say is responsible for that investment? You know, is it individual companies, or is it all simply down to this properly functioning CITB and the levy system to enable smaller business to keep up?
It's back to that having everybody around the table, isn't it? It's no one stakeholder's responsibility. Everybody has a part to play. I think the challenge we've always had is we are a bit blurred and unclear over whose responsibility is what bit. And that makes it very complicated and everybody points the finger at everybody else, whereas actually it's quite simple. And I think people thrive on training. Most people want to learn new stuff, but we have to deliver it in the right way. And we have to make it that it's stuff that adds value to them and their job. Continually training people in the same old boring stuff is never going to excite people.
Right.
So we've got the CITB, we have got employers. The industry collectively has to find a way to take responsibility and deliver it. It's that, you know, it takes a community to raise a child. It takes an industry to raise an apprentice. We've all got a responsibility to lean in.
So it's everybody working together, together to lean in and bring the entire industry up higher.
And be really clear what everybody's role is, what everybody's responsibility is, and then they do that with bells on. If people focus on the bit that they're responsible for, then we could make much more progress.
Well, finally, let's discuss the final piece in the jigsaw, which is retaining people in the sector by providing fair and inclusive working environments with flexible working opportunities. And the reality is the sector, as we said earlier, it's a tough business, and it's hugely transient in terms of the workforce. Does it all come down to money? Or is it just, you know, a fact of life that people like to leave to join new projects or new challenges?
I don't think it comes down to money. For the majority of people that I know, clearly they need to earn, and they want to earn money to do the things that they do, whether it's buy a house, go on holiday. Most people want to go to work and have a good day. So where people go to work and have a good day, and whether that it is mundane and they know what they're doing, consistency, whether it is excitement, living on the edge, if you give that to people, then they will stay. I'm a bit of a stayer myself. You pointed that out, because I love my job. So why would I want to go and do something else when I love my job? So I don't believe it's down to money. I think it's about working environment. It's about people feeling valued. It's about them going home at the end of the day and going, do you know what? I did something good today. It's not going home at the end of the day saying that was awful. We were late starting. It was cold. There wasn't anywhere decent to go to the loo. I got shouted at because I didn't know what I was doing. And you know what? Nobody's given me any training for the last 6 months, so I really don't know what I'm doing. If we turn that around and we value people, we look after them, but that comes down to the construction environment.
But I suppose clearly construction is going to come under pressure because it's not geared up for the new hybrid working, this working from home model that we see it being introduced across so many other sectors post-COVID. I mean, is that a problem? Is that going to add to the woes?
Hybrid doesn't just mean working from home. Flexibility is much more than that. Flexibility can be I get to drop the kids off at school or go and check on my elderly parent before I come into work. It can mean saying I've absolutely got to leave for an appointment at 5 o'clock today, so we can't be pouring concrete at 5 to 5 and me here sorting it out, either making it happen or sorting it out if it goes wrong. So some of it is back to valuing individuals and saying, what does a good day at work look like for you, and is there a way that we can accommodate that? And our flexible working project with 4 of our members and run by Timewise demonstrated that we can do it. It reduces sickness absence. It makes for a happier workforce. I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be done. And if we want to fill those 45,000 vacancies, then we've got to do something different.
So how can organisations like Build UK help attract the brightest, smartest young people into careers in construction? You mentioned the Open Doors Week in March coming up, and you support STEM ambassadors. You know, but you know, is that the key, or is it having those big conversations up front with government?
Where we've found we make the difference is where you all focus on a couple of key issues. Everybody has a clear role and responsibility, and you all do it. We're an industry that's really good at saying, yeah, we should do that, and then carrying on as normal. COVID is the best example of that. We all needed to stay operational. We had the site operating procedures. Everybody leaned in. Everybody understood where they were in the supply chain, what their job was. We did it, and we kept this fantastic industry open throughout every single lockdown. So we can do it, is my first message. Focusing, stop trying to do 101 things. Let's identify what will shift to those big dials that will get us moving forward. If we do that, we become a much more stable working environment. We can give that next generation the confidence that a career in construction is a job for life. And it doesn't mean the same job. I think I'm in about my third career within construction. But you give people that confidence. We become then a conveyor belt where people come on from education, they go through the industry, and we hold on to them. We want them, they value them, we progress them so people move up their careers. They then want to stay in construction. And that means whether you take a career break, you go off to have your children, you want to go and work somewhere else, but you can then come back into the industry because we value and look after our people.
So, I mean, after 30 plus years in the construction sector, Susanna, I mean, are we getting any better?
I believe so, but in pockets. There are pockets in this industry of amazingly good stuff. What we're not very good at is sharing that. We sometimes forget that we're not household names. It's not like going to work for Marks and Spencers or Tesco's. People don't know about construction companies unless you're in construction. There's some really simple stuff. I've got a big challenge to get women's PPE, to get every woman on a construction site has women's PPE as a matter of course, and they don't have to say,
right,
do you know what? These trousers don't fit. You can't even be bothered to provide me with women's PPE. Why am I going to
Sounds quite
around?
An obvious thing. Quite an obvious thing.
It's some really simple stuff, like everything. There's some really simple stuff and there's some big stuff. The simple stuff we can all do. There is no excuse for some of the really simple stuff that every single employer can do. The big stuff's a bit more challenging. Change takes time and people don't like change. It's not if it was easy, we'd have done it by now.
Susanna, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts. It isn't easy, but I feel slightly more relaxed that you're there championing the cause for us all. So thanks very much for joining me today on the Infrastructure Podcast. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and thanks for all your action you're taking to make some change.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's all we've got time for today, but we've got more from the Infrastructure Podcast in the pipeline and more guests to talk to as we continue to probe the big issues faced across the sector. If you haven't done so already, do check out the new Infrastructure Podcast website. That's www.infrastructure-podcast.com, where you'll find background information and all the latest podcasts to listen to and to share. So thanks for joining us. Thanks again to Susanna. I look forward to seeing you again very soon.